Hello, Michael.
Oh, yeah.
We'll do that first.
Thank you.
Right. So that's not a problem. You have that wave scale element.
Okay. 5:30. We'll go ahead and start this personnel and finance committee meeting.
Okay. What do you have for that? That's fine, Chief.
I would like to ask the administration.
Okay.
Just one second here.
Yeah.
They're getting set up.
Yeah.
And maybe you can give us some background.
Yeah, give a little bit of background. I've got the fire chief here tonight. One of the things that we want to talk about up front with the fire chief is adding to the strength ordinance. We have not had an assistant chief for a number of years, ever since Chief Kuhn was here, and they just didn't have it. It had been the strength ordinance, but. And I think the fire chief can kind of explain what he wants to do, but instead of that, it would be a battalion fire chief, somebody was more of that in working. We realize that we will still need to work with the union itself in doing that, but he's looking for some additional things on there, and I want him to be able to speak on that, if you would. I want you to talk about the battalion chief and what it entails and why you want that. Kind of give the history of what you want it to do. Okay?
Hello.
No. But did you get the job description? He's got it. Never mind. He's got it. That's fine. You made one copy of that, or he's got 15? Well, I don't think that's your job.
Yes, please. Thank you.
You can. Thank you. Thank you.
So currently on the strike ordinance, we have an assistant chief listed, so we have a total of 17 positions actually at the fire department, but currently we only have 16 filled. So as my vision kind of for the fire department is to move forward, as you look through this packet, I kind of listed, I talked to HR, so we kind of have like a salary range of what this position would pay, and then with the family plan, what it would cost the city. It's not exact numbers, but it's really close if you look on that first page. So. Currently, I would like to, what my vision is, I'd like to have more of an operations / administration type position. I don't just want somebody that just does administration. So I'm just going to kind of run through this paper with you. If you guys have any questions this morning, please stop me. So basically, it's my plan, is what I'd like for this position to do is basically fire inspections. Currently, we all do inspections, but this person would kind of oversee it. As of right now, I do have a firefighter. His job is kind of to oversee inspections. But the problem that I've had is he's only here every third day. Some days he's only here once during the week, and then he works the weekend. So he's on that 24-48 schedule. So I'm looking for someone that can oversee this program because we do inspections every day, that's here every day. So they would be in charge of the inspection program, the code enforcement, the pre-plans. Currently, we're not really good about doing pre-plans where we go out, look at these buildings, put it into our program. It's called Active 911. It's just really time. It takes a lot of time to put all this information in. So looking for somebody that would be around during the day that can actually help put these items in, which would be like your Knox boxes, your FDC connections for the sprinkler system. Kind of the layout, the floor plan, is there hazardous materials inside this building? So when we get the call, this information pops up on our screen. We know what they have. We know where we need to go. Just kind of have a layout of what the structure looks like. We've been working on this for years. We've been doing this for years. It's just there's so many buildings. We currently do over 600 fire inspections. We did get 92% of those done this year, but it is difficult, again, when guys, and I usually help out with this as well, because guys, they're only here every third day, so to get into some of these buildings, it's very difficult to do as well. The other thing that I would like them to oversee would be the fire prevention, which again, that could be going into schools, talking at schools, whatever that may be. We do a lot of extinguisher training during the day, so they would kind of oversee that as well. And just so you guys know, I'm the one that technically oversees all this as well, so this is also me delegating to somebody else to kind of help be more efficient, if that makes sense. And then lastly, the biggest focus, and this is the main reason why I want this position, or why we need this position, is the training program. Currently, our training program is pretty subpar, and I'll explain that a little bit further as we kind of look further into the packet as far as like our ISO rating. But also, it'd be nice to have somebody that kind of lays out, this is what we're doing today, instead of having on the fly, okay, what are we going to do today for training? I want somebody to oversee it, make sure that it's actually getting done. They would also assist with firefighter EMS operations. So I went on about 50 squadrons since I took over as chief. I know that doesn't sound like much, but the way we operate currently, I don't know if you guys know this, we always call people back in. Anytime that ambulance or squad goes out, we're calling people back in. So depending if I have somebody on vacation or not, or if they're out doing inspections, I got one firefighter on station with me. So that leaves two people for an ambulance call. So I'm still required to function as a firefighter paramedic too. So I know I'm the fire chief, but I go on ambulance runs. I'm expected to be able to do and perform just like anybody else. But the problem is when we have a run, we have a short period of time where there's just two of us there. So by adding another personnel or another staff member during the day, give us three personnel to go out on a call. I think it's awesome that we can do three people on an ambulance. I think we give a higher standard of care. I think anytime you send two, for a long transport time, it's going to be anywhere from 15 to 20 minutes, depending where it's at in the county. So a lot of things can happen. We also go up to St. Rita's and we climb Memorial at times as well. So you have that kind of that area where, again, you might get another call come in. We get doubled up a lot. And we are starting to keep track of those runs now. We just started doing that here in the last few months. And what I mean by that is we get double run. And that's within 5 minutes of each other. We get one squadron, and another call comes in, so it's just myself or a firefighter on station. And if I'm not there, there's only one guy on station. He's got to wait until people get back up to station to respond to this call. They would also help with fire investigation. It's not something we do a ton of, but if I'm not around, nobody else is really trained in basic fire investigation except for one other guy. So this person would be trained in basic fire investigation with assistance doing the investigation when we have a fire, whether that's a car or a structural fire. They would assist with discipline. I haven't had to experience this in a great amount yet, which is good. But if I'm on vacation currently at this point, nobody is around to be able to do discipline or because they're all unionized. So this will give me another person that can actually administer discipline and kind of set performance standards for these guys to better themselves. Scene safety, again, these are all just things, just having somebody that can help improve our department. And ISO compliance, I want to talk more about that. And really community outreach, this is something I feel like we're kind of lacking in. I'm a big fan of being out in the public. I think it's huge for, I know when I was a kid, seeing police officers, firefighters out in the public was, I just think that was awesome. Going to the water, having them come talk to me, looking at the equipment. I just feel like we can be better as far as outreach to the community. But it's hard when, again, you have somebody that's 448, so you kind of have a plan for this. I just think having more help within the week, we could do a better outreach program to our citizens. And that, you know, we're thinking CPR, first aid, and then a car seat program. I know we used to have a car seat program. PD was involved with that. And as of right now, we don't have that. We do get a call here and there asking if they do a car seat program. Basically, you're just making sure the parents, new parents, are installing the car seats correctly. And we don't have to do that. It's just something that I thought that could be good for the community. We got somebody there during the day. If they call up, we can help them and show them how to install a car seat. Because we've been on several accidents where that car seat's not in right or something's happened. But if we can help in any way, I think that would be something we can improve on as well. Towards the bottom of the paper there, again, like I was talking about, additional manning throughout the week when additional runs come into the station while we wait for call on staff to arrive. So again, if we have a cardiac arrest where somebody they're doing CPR on, we send four. I think that's crucial that we continue to do that, sending four on all those types of runs, and then always sending three. Again, we have such a long transport time. I know St. Mary's has a hospital in town. A lot of the bigger cities, and they just run two-man squad, but a lot of the bigger cities will have an engine that chases them, so they have plenty of help there if they need it. For us, if we just have two, and you're out in the middle of nowhere, it's hard getting people out of houses. So I try to keep, my plan is to try to get through people in that ambulance as much as we can, but I think we give some of the best care around. Our guys are very well trained, and I want to keep that up. They can also count as additional manning when staff is unavailable. So currently, we face an issue of callback. And burnout, and I don't know, are you guys aware of, again, like how we operate with the callback? So during the summertime, it's our hardest point in time. I am counted as manning more often than not in the summertime. And honestly, I don't think it's appropriate for us to discipline these guys for not being available. These guys put in a lot of time, a lot of hours, but it is a problem that we need to address, and I don't know what the right answer is. And I'm always open to suggestions, but during the summertime, I might not have anybody, so it's just myself and one firefighter up there. By giving us, again, staffing during the week, we'll have at least three people there. There's that two-in, two-out rule at OSHA, so if you have two in a structure fire, you have two outside. We need to try, that's why we have a four-man minimum. So I try to keep that as much as I can, so we've been cutting back on ambulance, we get doubled up, we might have to send two to try to keep that four-man minimum. So again, somebody during the day, that'll help us keep that four-man minimum if we can. Because it's not uncommon for us just to have two or three people up there. Again, like the safer, like creating a safe training program, I think this is something that we need to establish and having JPRs, so job performance requirements. Currently for our full-time staff, we don't have any of this in place. I'm not like bashing any of our guys and stuff, but I myself, I need to have job performance requirements. I need these guys to sit down and show me that they know how to run the IV pump. They know how to throw a 24-foot ladder. So this battalion chief position would try to lay out these job performance requirements and get this established so we know what, so people know what's expected. I think that's very important to have this. All right, so if you turn the page, that second page, is what this is actually our ambulance runs for last year. So it was 1874 was our ambulance runs, and I kind of highlighted when we're the busiest, you guys can see there. So to have somebody during the day is kind of what I was looking at. When are we the busiest? When do we have the most stuff going on? So if we look at the number of calls, and you can see there, from 7 o'clock is when I would ideally when I would want to have somebody there, anywhere from 4 to 5 o'clock, or 1600 to 1700. And that's kind of the spike in call volume. We're always the busiest during the day. That's when we do our inspections, that's when we do our training, that's when we have the most ambulance runs. And like right now, like we're doing radio testing with the school. I'm trying to take care of that. It's very difficult, so I kind of delegated that down to one of my firefighters. But again, he's only here every third day, so it's difficult when the school calls, hey, can you come out? I usually go out and take care of that. Also, we have a lot of new construction finals where we're doing inspections throughout the day. Any kind of new construction, we're going out and doing that with Miami County. So all that stuff is during the day. And then if you turn the page there again, here's another graph for like our fire. So we use two programs. We use ESA for our squad runs, and then we use emergency reporting program for our fire runs. Again, if you look at the time frame, when we're the busiest, and what this is, it's a little goofy how it labels it. So you have fire, EMS, and other. So fire would be like your car fires, your structure fires, and then your EMS would be kind of like your motor vehicle accidents. It kind of codes it weird, but that's my understanding when I was looking through that's motor vehicle accidents. And then other would be kind of like your CO checks, your burning complaints, all that kind of stuff. So again, when you look at when we are the busiest, right there is during the day is when we are currently the busiest. And if you turn the page one more time.
Yeah. It looks like it's when you're the busiest, it's all the other category.
Yeah. Which, again, that's all like burning complaints, CO checks, gas leaks.
If somebody calls, you just going to help get them off.
Yeah, I guess that would fall. Yeah, that would be another. I don't know if that falls under medical or other. It doesn't tell me the codes, and it really depends on how the codes type them in.
Okay.
So they might type something goofy in and it might come up as other, or it might be medical. So, but yeah.
And you need two people for those as well?
Well, we currently use PD, which is understaffed. So it's difficult during the day for me to send two guys out the truck for locuses because then the ambulance call comes in, then I got to get those guys back to get them where the call's at. So again, if I got more help during the day, taking the stress off PD, but also taking the stress off my guys. So good question. That last form there is actually our ISO rating, which was done in 2021. I'm still learning, so if you guys have questions about ISO, I do too. So I'm not going to sit here and act like I fully understand it, but I'm learning. One area that I know that we can improve on for sure, though, I'm talking with some of you guys who know better than myself. If you look down at our scores here, if you look at credit for training, last time we got a 3.16 out of 9. All right, and so ISO basically, are you guys familiar with what it is or what the point of ISO is with insurance? So like for home insurance, they look at our ISO score for the fire department that kind of can change rates on our current home insurance. But like, if you look at the credit for training, we only got 3.16, and I can go back all the years, and we've always been low on training. So it's like, how can we fix that? I've currently established some training divisions, but I still need somebody to kind of oversee it and implement it. I'm still learning how everything works, and I'm trying to delegate as much as I can, but I think that we could be more effective if I had more help during the week, and I know we can do better in our training for ISO. Not only will it help our ISO rating, but it will also help us provide better care overall and better fire protection. Another thing too, I don't know how much it would help with personnel, but if you look at our personnel, 4.5 out of 15, we get crushed on personnel.
What drives that? Is that you don't have enough people?
Well, technically, according to NFPA, if it's 1,500, don't quote me on that.
Okay.
It says you need, and this is never going to happen, I think it's 15 firefighters for a structured fire, two-story structured fire.
Okay.
So we'll never have that, which I get that. Right. But a lot of big city departments, they have 30-some people coming in multiple trucks. So if you think about it, we had four guys showing up on a structured fire. It's my goal to get at least, I would love to have seven at some point. I think this is a step in the right direction to get seven guys during the day when we're fully staffed to operate more safely and be more productive on the fire ground. But that's the problem. I don't think we'll ever get a great score on that.
But what about when we get support from the other?
Yeah,
that's you can't count that?
No, that's a different score, and I don't know, yeah. Mr. Mayor, if you know the country.
It is a different score on reciprocity or mutual aid. We can have those come in, but it doesn't add to our score at all. We would still get the assist, but it doesn't add because it's not on our employment rolls.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
So the minimum you're trying to have is 4 people.
That's what we currently have. So
you'd like to have at least 7, right?
I would like to have 7 during the day, and I think we have discussed about possible like part-time over the weekend because I have numbers to show like over the weekend. That's
the busiest.
Shortest.
Well,
not necessarily busiest, but
the shortest.
Yeah, we're busiest during the week, but
yeah.
We just don't have enough people for callback. So if that makes sense. So.
And we are kind of working on that issue right now. And that, again, would be another union negotiation to go through on the part-time personnel. But we are working on that.
Absolutely. But, yeah, the staffing, I don't know that we can overcome that. So.
Joel, do you still use volunteers on your department?
This is something that also we need to restructure. We do have volunteers, but honestly, it's not an attractive position. I think we need to address this. Set some JPRs as well. I think that there's been no, requirement for them that's been enforced. I'm not trying to be, come down hard on them, but I do think they need to be well-trained and also be available. And I think that we need to make this position more attractive. Unfortunately, I think the callback system, like the volunteer system, the way it's just not working like it used to. It's not just us, it's everywhere. This is a problem everywhere, and we need to get creative and try to figure out how to fix it.
How far into it do you guys go on your inspections? How far into the code like that?
The way I've been doing it, and I don't know how the previous chiefs have done it, I stick to the code. This is what it is.
Do they go into sprinkled, non-sprinkled areas? How long your smoke barrier, fire barrier, how many hours it is, doors?
Yep. So we don't necessarily sign off on all that. Miami County does. We just kind of go with them, if that makes sense. The city, I believe, we contract all that out to Miami County, but we're required to be there with them as well. And we can be more stringent if we would like. But the way I've done it, I've stuck to the code. I want to be consistent, and it is whatever the code says is what I do. So we're currently going through radio testing for the schools, and there's been questions, can we do this? And it's like, this is what the code says. This is what we're going to do. But yeah, we go through all the buildings with the inspector. We have to have somebody out there with them as well when they go. So,
are the inspections have to complete it every year? Does that hold for longer than a year?
We're required to do annual inspections
every year. So, 600 has to be done every year.
The problem we run into is some of these businesses. I'm not around. It's not going to work. So we try to show some grace, but at times we need to get into these buildings to make sure they're safe.
Because you can actually close them down.
We can.
Okay.
If there's violations that they do not fix.
Have you had to do that?
We have not. We've had a lot of unsafe structures that we've dealt with in the past. But as far as code violations, everybody's usually complied. We usually do a letter of recommendation, which if they don't get it finished, they have 70 days and then they get fined.
Okay.
But we have not, in my, I've been here 13 years, I have not seen that. It's been coming a little close, we've been, but I have not seen that.
Okay.
Joel?
Yeah.
You currently work 5 days a week. I mean, that's what I'm trying to say is, would this position also work the same hours as you, or would you, stagger it to where they get up on the weekend?
And that's the thing, I currently take callback. I'm salary. So that would be up to the person that would have this position if they wanted to help. Usually we do an all-call or one available, and I'll call up, and if it's not manned, I'll come up on the weekend as well. That's just how we operate. So I do take callback, and I just get straight time to put that on my salary for the week.
I didn't mean that you don't work the weekend.
No, I know what you're saying.
Could we stagger those so you could help with?
Well, Tuesday to Saturday on this guy, on this person,
and
right?
And so that's something to consider, because it is a salary position. Yeah, I wouldn't be opposed to that either. Myself working with somebody we want to alternate weekends, or, but no, that's a good question. So,
as far as staffing, just an idea. I don't know if you do anything like this, but and it wouldn't be a true staffing, but do you guys do anything with high school seniors, like an Explorers program or anything, where they could actually assist one guy on some of these places instead of two going?
You're saying like have them go on calls?
Yeah, not necessarily calls, but something like just check this out, or maybe if you need two guys for a smaller thing that is not dangerous or something, do you utilize anything like that?
We don't currently do anything like that. I know the liability as far as like the junior program, a lot of that stuff is just pretty hands off, but they can like stretch hose lines. But as far as like lifting patients or doing patients care, I don't know. And that is something on my list. There's so many things that we need to address at our department operationally that it's just, but I have thought about that as well.
And I don't know if there's almost like a TriStar program, if there's something too that we could get somebody into police and fire, and just that idea of trying to get a class of some nature or some kind of training for them.
For sure. And I think there was talk with TriStar, but I don't think anything's ever come out of it, because currently an Advantage and Apollo high school seniors and juniors can actually go to this program. When they turn 18, they can test it out and actually go work full-time out of high school. We currently don't have anything like that around here, but that is starting to be more common.
I have one other question on the ISO. It says credit for ladder service. We have 1.52 out of 4. What is ladder service?
So basically, that's just our ladder. So currently, on any kind of in-town run, we bring an engine truck, which we'll throw, if we have a full shift, we'll throw 4 in there, and then a ladder truck will send one guy. Because of our staffing, we don't have enough people to run that ladder. So we only get 1.5, because we get it there, but we don't have enough people to run it, if that makes sense.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. How many do you currently have on staff?
Currently, we have 16 full-time and 6 part-time.
And how many are on each shift?
We have 5 per shift. 4-man minimum, so one guy can be on vacation.
Yeah, 16 full-time and...
16 full-time and 6 part-time.
Where do you think that you would want those numbers to be, at least... I know the more the better, but I mean, what's ideal for you if we had how many people full-time and part-time? So what kind of numbers are you looking at?
I think for us to be efficient, where we can get 2 squads out the door without any issue, would be 7 per shift.
Okay, yeah.
And I think that's, I know Walpole Fire has got 6, they out there manning to 6. St. Mary's just got theirs approved for 5. The thing with St. Mary's though, they got a hospital in town, so their turnaround time is like 30 minutes. Ours is an hour.
Yeah.
So it makes it kind of tough. It's easier for them. They can count their guys back in service at the hospital. We can't do that. So.
So this position would be a new additional personnel, or is there potentially somebody within that?
So what I'd like to do, currently we have that assistant chief position. I have the job description, I think they're printing it off, but I'd like to keep the assistant chief position but retitle it and add to the job description. Because I'd like them to help with operations as well, if that makes sense. I don't want them just to be strictly, we need somebody to help with operations, not just administrative role. Because like I said, I already help with operations as well. That's kind of a unique thing about our position. Everybody does, is expected to do everything. It's not just administrative, so.
The assistant chief's position is in the strength ordinance and he wants to change that. It's just not funded yet. So we would need to fund that and change it to the battalion fire chief.
So just a title change, and then I added just a couple things in there, like about fire investigation and the training program and code enforcement. So I just kind of added that to the job description.
Okay.
And then another, I forgot the other thing too, is they would be required to be a paramedic as well. And currently the assistant chief position says EMT. I'd like to change that to paramedic.
So the battalion chief would be a paramedic.
That's just an example.
Yes, that's just an example of job description you have in. That's the closest on there that we had. So, and it would be a salary position. What you have on there, Liberty Township, says non-exempt, but I believe it would be an exempt as a battalion fire chief because it would act similarly to an assistant chief. So I believe it's also there. I believe it falls under fiduciary. It's just keep in mind we're a statutory city and this is a township. So.
And that's just an example of like what typical duties are for a battalion chief. So in like bigger cities, they're in charge of the scene, multiple departments, or multiple shifts. So instead of assistant chief, I was looking at somebody, battalion chief, like just again a title. And I want to make it attractive to guys as well. We're having trouble with retention right now. So I want to position that some of these young guys, like, man, I would like to work towards that. I would like to do that. And because we are lacking that. As far as that motivation to better themselves. We just gave a lieutenant's promotional test. It's been about 13 years since we've given one. So guys, I got guys that are very well trained, that are motivated, that aren't gonna get this position either, or the lieutenant's position this time. So it's just like that motivation to better themselves when you have more positions as well, that helps motivate them, keeps people staying. And I just think that's crucial too. Just something to consider as well.
So what do we need to do?
What we would do is, if you're in agreement with this, we'll bring back the, we'll have to appropriate the money for this position, but then we'll bring back that job description formatted then for you to have, because what you have there is a sample. We have the assistant chief's position, but we'll put that in a correct format for you to have. As you do a strength ordinance, we'd like to change that in the strength ordinance as well as appropriate.
Does anybody else have questions regarding this request? I think we've kind of talked through quite a bit of it. And I guess it would be good to see the final written.
We will get that to you then.
Okay. All right. Okay. We need to pass anything? We don't need to pass anything.
If you just want to make a motion for me to bring it, then I will certainly bring it at the next meeting.
Okay.
I would make a motion.
Okay. Councilman Waltzell, and you're on the committee too, right?
Yes.
Okay, Matt. Okay, Councilman Gray, seconds. Okay.
All right, very good.
Okay, and I guess we need to vote on that then. Okay.
Yep.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Thanks, all right. Bring it to the council.
And that'll be great. The last item, very, very quickly. This has to do with our customer account supervisor. You should all have this in front of you. Well, you will shortly. The customer account supervisor currently is a G. It's, and you'll see on there, you'll see this line, Walpock St. Mary's, our WBL corridor again. They are significantly, this position is significantly less. The amount of duties has increased. There are six people of a direct supervision for the customer account supervisor, and it needs to be more in parity. So this needs to be increased and should have been some time ago. It just wasn't. But we do need to get that increased, and you'll see on there where the pay range are. So it needs to go from a G to an F. One of the interesting things is we've dealt with the inclusion of solar and rec programs, things along those, and I mean renewable energy credits, not recreation. Renewable energy credits, these are something this position has had to accommodate in addition to some of the other things we have with radio read. So it's requiring more and more of a degree of specificity and technical knowledge. And particularly because of the six employees currently underneath there, it does provide for this one to actually be increased.
We have a question.
Yes.
Does that switched, it looks like G is
higher.
Well, G's the lower amount. They want to move her to F, amount. Which is a higher amount.
And needs to go from a G to an F.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
But on this one, it was.
That's not on that sheet. Yeah, it's on this sheet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's on that sheet. No, that is that's the union pay scale.
Oh, okay.
The other one is the non-union wage scale. So sorry.
Okay, that's out.
Yes. They both do say Exhibit A on it. Sorry about that.
Yes. So it's like going from the equivalent to 23 to 27 on the other scale. It's just to show you. Union, CMR, you know, supervisors / non-supervisors, kind of what the scale looks like and what's the equivalence.
Okay.
If you're okay with that.
Well, I think you have to make it comparable to what
other correct.
People in the surrounding areas are being paid for this particular role.
And that's correct.
But we seem like we're quite a bit behind there.
We are.
I think it's something that we probably should address with this.
Well, we will bring that along with the appropriations ordinance in order to mitigate this at the next meeting then.
Anybody else have any questions or comments? We're just basically bringing the customer account supervisor up to a comparable to the surrounding communities that have the same position.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, very good.
We're going to close this meeting of the Personnel and Finance at 6:02, it looks like.